You may not realize it, but every minute of every day, you're enjoying your First Amendment freedoms. You can wear what you want, give out your opinion for free, even if it's unpopular. Listen to your playlist. You can put a sign out on your front lawn that says, "Vote for Bigfoot, someone you can believe in." Pray to the God of your choice, or don't. You have the right to hang with a posse that thinks like you do. Tell the government what you think about its policies. They're the freedoms that let you be you, and they're all brought to you by the First Amendment. Learn more at freedomforum.org.
Ohio seniors, make the right call for better Medicare benefits with Medical Mutual. Call 1-866-966-9338 to find a plan today. Enroll by December 7th.
Hey everybody, I'm Zach.
And I'm Jesse.
And you're watching Tesla Time News.
Episode 426.
On Now You Know.
So, did you hear that Giga Texas is expanding?
Well,
I saw this story about Tesla pulling permits in Austin to expand Giga Texas by 50%. Does this mean that Tesla isn't going to be building Giga Mexico? Is this a political move by Elon Musk?
What is this?
Okay, hang on. Okay, I saw this story too. I thought the same thing until I stepped back and did a little more research. So it turns out that those 10 permits talked about in the article is actually 18 permits, but they're not building permits from Austin. They are from the Texas Department of Licensing and Regulation, which is an occupational licensing agency. So this agency gives out permits as kind of like a last step after construction to allow for the occupation of the building. So a RAS, or Registered Accessibility Specialist, goes out to the site, kind of like an inspector, when the construction is complete and inspects no later than 30 days after construction to make sure that everything is safe and in order for employees to start occupying the building safely. As Joe Tegmeyer shows here on this great overview, these are the 18 locations for the individual permits at Giga Texas. And this is why I don't like reporting on breaking news. People are in such a rush to be first to break stories that they often can be misleading or, in this case, just plain wrong.
But if these are just TDLR, not to be confused with TLDR, because it's Texas Department of Labor Regulations permits, then why are we seeing this months and months after these areas in the factory have already been occupied?
Because you can actually start occupying the spaces for up to a year after they're complete, as long as you file for the permits within 30 days of the completion of construction. So in other words, TDLR is assuming everything is safe, but they won't issue the final permit until they send out an inspector. But I saw a lot of people saying this means there'll be no Giga Mexico. And I thought the same thing when I first heard it, because if these were actual building permits and if Giga Texas was actually expanding, that would imply that they maybe didn't need another Gigafactory somewhere. But from what I'm seeing here, this is the same thing that's happened before. When they're done building something, they need these permits to occupy the space.
So that's why everyone was like, it's another Gigafactory.
Another one.
But it's not. It's the Gigafactory, and this is just the wrapping up stage.
Exactly, which is really good news. It means that basically everything is getting, you know, to its final stages.
I see. And I'm glad that people are like keeping track of the permits, because that's good. But it does, if you follow breaking news, then you're like,
Giga Mexico's out. There's going to be two Giga Texases.
Right. So as we reported, the Boring Company started digging a tunnel under the highway at Giga Texas earlier this year.
It was supposed to be completed in July, and then it appeared that some of the roadway pieces had failed.
So we have some update video here of the tunnel progress from amazing drone pilot Joe Tegmeyer. Go follow him, by the way, on X and YouTube.
He says the Boring Company crews have completed installing the tunnel road surface panels and are now preparing the west exit area for the final facing structures and driveways. Much more going on inside the south extension, where the other end of the tunnel is located, getting closer to the day we see a Cybertruck drive through the tunnel.
And Cybertruck posted birthing tunnel.
Birthing tunnel?
Well, this is where Cybertrucks will emerge from the factory as they head over to the outbound prep and shipping areas across the Highway 130. Rough location of that tunnel is in red on this photo.
Oh, so Tesla won't have to drive Cybertrucks all the way around on surface roads to be prepped for shipping.
Abracadabra.
Yeah, the tunnel goes right from the end of line, straight shot like 900 feet under the highway.
And think about this. Right now, they have to be driven by humans, which may not sound like a big deal. But then each of those drivers has to be driven back to the factory to get the next Cybertruck. Soon, when the Cybertrucks can drive themselves through the tunnel.
Yeah, I mean, this is a labor and time savings, which equals a reduction in cost that I think a lot of people don't think is a big deal. But every single Cybertruck, so when they're selling, let's say, 1 million a year, would have to have 1 million drivers. And that's just money you don't need to spend when the Cybertrucks can drive themselves safely straight through under the tunnel, not getting any dust on them or anything.
Now, do you think that people are going to use these tunnels to, like, get to the parking lot?
I think it's just one way, because it's
I know it's technically, you're not supposed, I mean, is it leading close to the parking lot?
Oh,
if it's
no,
like, oh man, I got to get over to the thing.
Yeah, this is on the other side.
They're going to be like, oh, don't worry, dude, just take the cyber tunnel.
Plus, there'll probably be an optimist at the gateway being like, do not pass. And as we saw here, drone pilot Brad Sloan, also follow him on YouTube, got photos on Saturday of Gigatex's boring tunnel getting painted. And we also get these photos from within a boring tunnel a few miles away. So this is Bastrop, Texas, where the boring tunnel headquarters is. This is Tesla working with firefighters there from the Austin Fire Department on doing safety drills for if there's a fire in the tunnel.
And we get to see the entrance to the tunnel at Boring Company headquarters in Bastrop. It looks like they were inspired by the Fallout video game.
So maybe they'll have one of those doors that closes it off at night. Or maybe they'll never be closed. All right, so I know this next story is going to seem even more boring than a tunnel story.
Boring!
But we think it's actually a big deal.
Tesla posted on its blog last week a new standard for the low voltage connectors that go into making an EV. Tesla says that there are over 200 types of connectors currently, and that with this new standard, that number could be dropped to 6.
Yeah, Tesla says this new LVCS, or low voltage connector standard, quote, expands upon the same 48 volt electronic architecture used for Cybertruck. It meets the requirement for increased spacing for 48 volt operation and is available in industry standard light blue. The 48 volt architecture is the optimal long-term choice, requiring 1/4 of the current to deliver the same amount of power. Designed to enable reliable autonomous vehicles, it utilizes robust single wire sealing and independent secondary locking mechanisms while minimizing the package size. Tesla invites all device suppliers and vehicle manufacturers to join us in this initiative. Any questions can be directed to lvcs@tesla.com.
So I don't get it. Why is Tesla essentially giving away the work that they put into designing and engineering a new standard connector for 48 volt vehicles, especially if there aren't any 48 volt vehicles out on the road yet, other than the Cybertruck?
Well, for one thing, Tesla wants the auto industry to switch from 12 volts to 48 volt batteries, because as they said, with the increased voltage, you can reduce the amperage by 4 times and use way less copper in the vehicle, which makes the vehicles lighter and cheaper. If Tesla can get other manufacturers to sign on to this standard like they did with NACS, which is the new standard for high-speed DC charging, then the number of these connectors being made will increase and the price per connector will drop, which helps the entire industry.
Okay, so this is not to make Tesla money. It's not like they're saying, buy our connector.
Oh yeah, no, I don't think they're going to make them.
They're saying, make this connector, and there's only 6 of them, so the scale goes through the roof because the manufacturers get to go like, we can make a ton of these because if we're selling them to Ford and Tesla and GM and Toyota,
yep,
we can make a ton and that'll bring down the cost and that saves Tesla money along with the entire auto industry. So if Tesla says that these 6 connectors are designed to meet the power and signal requirements for over 90% of typical device applications, this seems like a no-brainer.
That's if the rest of the auto industry will jump on this 48 volt bandwagon, and so far none of them have. You know, we've heard Sandy Munro talk about, like, early in his career he knew this was a better standard, 48 volts, but none of the companies you work for, like Ford, would do it.
And I mean, there's a bit of a learning curve. I mean, if you've grown up in Detroit and it's been 12 volts since 1930s when they switched up from 6 volts, it's got to be tough because, like, you and your dad and your grandfather probably all use 12 volts and they all know, well, you've got to keep the difference of this and do that. But now you're going up to 48 volts and it's slightly different.
And the great part about a 48 volt battery, as we're finding out, is they are so much smaller and less weight than a 12 volt. So you have to take up less space in the car and less weight carrying it around. So you're saving that cost and weight. But I think dealers may not like this because this is easier and cheaper repairs and they make a lot of their money on expensive repairs.
But if the parts are cheaper, doesn't that make the repair cheaper, but only in the supplies? And so couldn't they get a bigger markup here? Because now the drawer of connectors has 6 slots in it instead of needing an entire bay. Right. There's like, oh, the electrical connectors. I don't know. I hope that we can switch to this standard and that it's as amazing as Tesla says that it is. So Tesla Europe in the Middle East just posted something pretty cool. Drive a Tesla, talk to no one, locate and unlock a vehicle near you for a test drive entirely via the Tesla app.
Talk to no one.
So these are self-serve demo drives. I kind of think that this is a great idea.
Yeah, and I think it's really going to boost sales. Tesla can bring cars to places that would normally be kind of far from a Tesla showroom and then have potential customers experience a Tesla who normally wouldn't have easy access to a showroom.
So this is a map of Tesla stores and galleries in Europe.
And this is a map of self-serve demo drive locations. So you can see like a ton of them are in Switzerland.
Why in Switzerland?
Probably they're focusing on that right now. You know, they can keep moving that area around, you know, bring the fleet here, bring the fleet there.
Now, this is already offered in the United States.
Yes. I think it's super smart because there's no dealership pressure. Mm. You know, normally you go down the dealer and you have to prepare yourself to be just attacked by a dealer for hours and, you know, be mind-numbingly talked to. Mm-hmm. I feel like this way, you just find a car on the app, you go test drive it, bring it back. No, you don't have to talk to anyone. You get to experience it yourself. We've asked our patrons this week if they think it's a good idea. We'll find out later in the show. And speaking of Tesla's giving rides, it appears that Cybercab was giving rides at Giga Texas last week.
It looks like this is Cybercab prototype number 16. We get to see the exposed wheels without the gold covers.
Yeah, and that means, as some have pointed out, that the rear brake caliper is the same as the Model 3 Performance rear caliper. So more evidence here that Cybercab will probably use many of the Model 3 and Model Y components to keep prices down.
Not a big surprise.
Nope.
Again, scale something up, price goes down. Joe Tegmeyer spotted the Cybercab parked in front of Giga Texas for employees to check out.
So Tesla continues to crush it in California. Take a look at Tesla sales in the first 9 months of this year in the Golden State.
This is data from the CNCDA, or the California New Car Dealers Association. The Tesla Model Y was the best-selling BEV with over 100,000 registrations through September.
That's followed by the Model 3 with over 37,000.
Then you've got the Hyundai Ioniq 5, the Ford Mach-E, and look, at number eight, the Cybertruck with 6,300 registered. Now wait, I'm looking at all cars sold in California in the first three quarters, and look at this. The Model Y was the best-selling car, even if you include ICE cars.
Wow. The Model Y outsold the number two bestseller, the Toyota RAV4, by double.
And look at where BEVs are. 22.2% market share in California.
32.1% of all US BEVs are registered in California.
And Tesla is the number two in market share in California behind Toyota.
Tesla has a 4% market share in the US. And I just want to point out that might sound low, but that's more than Mercedes and Audi combined.
Wow. And I remember back in the old days when it's like, well, they're never going to have sales up to anything close to, you know, they're not even going to be in competition with Toyota. Think about Toyota. They make like a million vehicles a year. And now Tesla's making a million vehicles a year plus.
Yeah.
In California, they're right behind Toyota.
That's it. It's the only one they got to beat now.
So today's episode comes out on Election Day here in the United States.
Things are definitely heated politically, and Elon has been getting heat from some on the left for giving away $1 million a day to lucky winners in swing states for signing his America PAC petition.
Philadelphia District Attorney Larry Krasner, who is a Democrat, filed a lawsuit on October 28th, arguing that America PAC was violating federal law, claiming that the PAC was an illegal lottery scheme to influence voters.
3 days later, Pennsylvania Judge Angelo Foglietta, who is also a Democrat, put the lawsuit on hold because Elon's legal team requested that the case be moved to federal court.
And Elon said American justice for the win. Okay, but it's not a win necessarily.
Right. The case is waiting for the federal court's decision on jurisdiction, and we should be hearing, I don't know when they'll rule on that, whether or not it moves to federal court or stays in state court.
And just to be clear, you don't get any money for voting for Donald Trump. That's not how it works.
He just says sign the petition and some lucky winners, one winner every day until the election, will get $1 million.
And the petition doesn't say I'm going to vote for anybody. It says that I support the First and Second Amendment of the
Correct.
Constitution.
Yep. You have to be a registered voter already, and it doesn't matter if you're independent, Democrat, or Republican.
And so you're signing a petition.
That's it.
You sign the petition, and then you can go vote for whoever you want.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think they have a case, but I'm not a lawyer. Do you remember that South Korean Olympic shooter, Kim Yi-ji?
Yeah, she won silver in the Summer Olympics, right? And she went viral for her cool firing stance and glasses.
Yep. Well, she has become Tesla's Korea brand ambassador, saying, I'm very excited to work with Tesla, who have recognized me. I hope to convey a positive message together with Tesla.
Elon responded with the twin fire emojis. So how is Tesla doing in Korea?
Well, Tesla Asia posted in July, Model Y and Model 3 have become the two best-selling EVs in Korea. And that seems to be continuing into 2024. As you can see here from this chart from Tesla Chan, the Model Y and 3 continue to be the best-selling electric cars in Korea.
Shirkan said, now you know who has to be Tesla's Turkey brand ambassador.
And Elon said, 100%, great idea.
That was the other guy.
So arguably one of Tesla's most exciting technologies is autonomy. Tesla AI posted an update on Halloween of the releases that they have completed and what's coming next. So I thought we should go through this because obviously, as they say here in October, they did a lot of cool stuff. But let's be focused on what's coming next. So we got the full rollout of end-to-end highway driving to all AI 4 users targeted for early next week. So that's this week, including enhancements in stop smoothness. That would be great. Can you explain what stop smoothness is?
You're on the highway.
Mm-hmm.
Big slowdown ahead.
Mm-hmm.
You want to stop smoothly.
Yeah.
yeah. I've noticed some not so smooth stops. So I'm glad that they're improving that.
Less annoying bad weather notifications and other safety improvements. Improved version 12.5.x models for AI 3 city driving. Actually smart summon release in Europe, China, and other regions of the world. So that's this month. Now, version 13 is coming, and that's a package of the following major technology upgrades. So 36 hertz full resolution AI 4 video inputs.
Native AI 4 inputs and neural network architectures.
3 times the model size scaling.
3 times model context length scaling.
4.2 times data scaling.
5 times training compute scaling enabled by the Cortex training cluster.
Much improved reward predictions for collision avoidance following traffic controls and navigation, etc. So what that means is when you give a model a reward, that means that it's going to try and do that better.
Mm.
So basically better collision avoidance following traffic controls, etc.
Because I have noticed that it does love to run yellow lights. It's like, it is yellow. I'm like, it's yellow, dude. Efficient representation of maps and navigation inputs.
Audio inputs for better handling of emergency vehicles. So I think this means it can, like you hear a siren and you pay attention more.
Redesigned controller for smoother, more accurate tracking.
Integrated unpark, reverse, and park capabilities. That's really cool.
Support for destination options, including pulling over, parking in a spot, driveway, or garage.
That's really human, right? Because you get to a place, and depending on where you are, you do different things. You don't just always stop. So a lot of times now with, you know, version 12.5, it'll just be like, we're here. And you're like, well, no, just pull over there.
Mm-hmm. Improved camera cleaning and handling of camera occlusions.
Oh, okay. So like if it can't see out of a particular camera that well or something's blocked, it'll use other context clues, do you think?
I think that, yeah, the camera cleaning also is going to be the windshield wiper. That's okay. One of the only
Or the spray.
For the Cybertruck. Right.
And they went on to say, we have integrated several of these improvements and are already seeing a 4x increase in miles between necessary interventions compared to 12.5.4. This lays the foundation for the version 13 series, and we're targeting to ship version 13 to internal customers, so probably employees, by the end of this week. So that's this week. Most of the remaining items are independently validated and will be integrated over November in a series of point releases. We are targeting a wide release with version 13.3 with most of the above improvements for AI 4 vehicles around Thanksgiving, so 3 or 4 weeks from now.
Elon said the rate of improvement is awesome.
And Ashok Alaswamy, head of AI, said lots of work, but the team's aiming to get a feature complete for unsupervised FSD with the version 13 series. So this is big news. I really, there's so much here to unpack. Unsupervised FSD, that means you don't have to do anything, is hopefully going to be available with version 13. Not saying that it's going to come out this month, but that a lot of the stuff in version 13 would be kind of ready for unsupervised. Hmm. So we should start. I mean, I think we're going to see version 13 really move the needle.
And I like this figure said, what about honk? Ashok, I want my car to be able to honk.
And Ashok said, good point. We'll add to the list.
Hmm.
Nice that they're open to ideas. I almost feel like they forgot about the honking.
Where do you think that we are in terms of full self-driving capability? I feel like we've graduated.
Unsupervised or?
Well, just in terms of kind of age. I usually like to use age.
I feel like our latest version in Cybertruck is a 17-year-old.
I'm thinking a 17-year-old too. And
like with a few months of driving experience.
Right. I think that when we say a particular age, we're assuming that they get their license
like
first day
right.
that you can, which is what, 16 mm-hmm. and a half, depending on what state you're in. I mean, there's a lot of improvement.
Oh, in those first few months.
In those first few months and then in those first few years.
Right.
I think that what's the best age for driving? Because it does there's a decline at a certain point.
I would say late 20s, early 30s maybe, because you have tons of experience, but you're also, you know, you've got your best reflexes and all that.
Mm, okay.
I would think.
Okay.
I mean, I think it stays pretty solid through your 30s and 40s, and then, you know, I'm in my 50s and it declines.
So then in terms of like 16, 17, 18, 19, 20.
It goes up fast, I would say. Because, I mean, I think most of us are pretty comfortable getting into a car with a mid-20s person.
Right. So I just want to make the point that when we say it went from a 16 to a 17-year-old, you're like, well, it's just 1 year.
Right. No,
but
it's
one
exponential.
1 year's worth of human driving experience, you tend to improve quite a bit.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I would say ask yourself, like, what age do you feel like you can get into the car of somebody and you're just kind of like relaxed? Right.
It's not perfect.
Not perfect.
It's definitely has a long way to go. The one question that I have for you is, when you taught me to drive, because you are my father, surprise. We say it every once in a while and people are surprised. He's my father.
Who is your daddy and what does he do?
You taught me all sorts of different things that you do to keep yourself safe while you're driving.
Mm-hmm.
And many of those things are because you can't keep track of everything.
Right.
So you taught me, if you see lights on the highway that are very far ahead, begin to slow down.
Right.
You don't have to slam on the brakes, but you just begin to slow down, give a little bit more space because there might be a huge slowdown. And instead of having to slam on the brakes and swerve out of your lane, you'll be prepared for it. Cybertruck does not do that at the moment.
True. Although maybe Cybertruck doesn't need to. I mean, these are all things because I can only, as a human, keep track of so many things. A Cybertruck has a way better brain than I do.
Right. I mean,
and way better sensors.
Because basically, I can only react so fast.
Right.
I can only keep track of so many things. So,
well, and I think this is why humans create traffic jams. It's like we get to a spot where there's someone on the side of the road and we do looky-loos and we slow down. Whereas full self-driving isn't going to have to look at that.
It's true.
It's not important information.
Right. Because, I mean, you never know what's happening up ahead.
Right.
And it's hard to keep track of stuff. And you might get distracted and be like, there's a deer on the highway. And then all of a sudden you forget that there's a car in front of you.
Right.
Whereas maybe the car isn't going to do that, which means that it's never going to drive like a human.
Exactly.
But does that mean that I'm never going to feel comfortable in the car because I don't know what it's thinking and it's not acting the way that I would act?
That's why I love the screen, because the screen is telling you with its blue lines and stuff of what it's seeing, what it thinks it's going to do. And I find that really reassuring when I'm at like an intersection and I'm like, okay, what are you about to do? And I can see what it's about to do.
That's true.
But yeah, it takes some getting used to. It's like when you have your 17-year-old driving and you're like, do you see that up ahead or not? And you frantically go for that brake pedal that doesn't exist on your side of the car.
But I have to say, I have been using it more and more recently because it's gotten so much better that I'm comfortable in many situations where I would have never trusted it before.
Yeah, you did not like it before.
I hated it.
And now you like it.
I'm getting there. More.
All right, it's time for the Cybertruck Roundup.
Yeehaw! The Cybertruck Roundup.
So Cybertruck posted, it appears you have forgotten something, Ashok.
Actually Smart Summon releases to Europe, China, and other regions. What about Actually Smart Summon for Cybertruck? Yeah, that's what I've been saying.
And Ashok said, but you really have a nice ass.
And Cybertruck said, hello, HR.
It's just fun to see the different departments at Tesla making fun of things. Little Humans Big Impact says, wow, I have no idea what the person driving the Cybertruck in Mexico was doing, but whoa, this crash is insane. Everyone in the Cybertruck survived. If this doesn't prove how safe Teslas are, then I don't know what does.
Elon said, Cybertruck is tougher than a bag of nails. Wow.
Yeah, probably high speed was involved. I don't know.
Now, one of the awesome features of the Cybertruck is that it's made of cold rolled stainless steel, making its body scratch, dent, and bulletproof. Now, wouldn't it be awesome if the Cybertruck's glass were bulletproof too?
Well, right now at SEMA, which is the Specialty Equipment Trade Show in Las Vegas, a company called ISBI that has been making and installing bulletproof glass in thousands of vehicles for over 30 years is showing off their latest product, bulletproof glass for the Cybertruck. Now, we spoke with the CEO, John Murphy, the other day to learn more about the patented way that ISBI's glass is made. And because it's lighter and thinner than traditional bulletproof glass, the side windows in the Cybertruck will still be able to operate. Yes, that's right. They'll be able to go up and down, as opposed to what Elon had talked about at the unveiling event, that like, okay, we could install bulletproof glass, but your windows wouldn't operate. And so with ISBI's bulletproof glass, you could have operating windows.
Now, I heard that the same company's offering a mirroring service.
Yeah, so when you drop off your Cybertruck to get the bulletproof glass, you could also have it turned into that beautiful, shiny Cybertruck.
Oh, they polish it.
They polish it. And then I think they can put like your logo and stuff like etched into it, which is really cool.
Does the polishing make it laser proof? You know,
probably.
It just bounces the laser
and
right
off. Cars just get destroyed.
So now it's bulletproof, laser proof.
I mean, they've done over 4,000 police vehicles, so they know what they're doing.
And they've already installed Cybertruck's 4 side windows with their bulletproof glass, which is what they're showing at SEMA right now. And I think by January, they will have the glass ready for the Cybertruck windshield.
Yeah, I think that they are just finishing up their molds for that. So that would be cool. And I don't know if we're supposed to talk about this, but I think I heard a rumor that they're working on the rear windscreen as well, so that the entire glass would be, you know, bulletproof.
That's not the only thing I heard about the rear window.
What?
You'd be able to open it.
What?
Yeah, so.
Okay. Well, so I think the only location doing this right now is their Missouri location. I think that they have a huge waiting list already, but if you're interested in getting bulletproof glass on your Cybertruck, go to their website and see if you can get on the list, because that is really cool.
So we're getting reports from Canadians that Cybertrucks are arriving in Canada as deliveries are starting.
Yeah, these were spotted in a parking lot at the Tesla store in Kitchener, Ontario. Other Cybertrucks have been spotted on the roads in British Columbia and Quebec.
Also, the Cybertruck accessories have been officially started as well.
This is super exciting because now Cybertrucks are on sale throughout North America because we've got Mexican sales, U.S. sales, and Canadian sales.
And you keep forgetting about all the other North American countries.
They're Zach. Not North American.
Yes,
they're
they
Central America.
Well... You want to add a whole continent that's like the smallest continent on Earth?
I learned it in school that they were in Central America. Let us know. If you're in North America, then yes, we need to add you to the list. And while Cybertruck is America's number one best-selling electric pickup truck, Ford just announced that they are going to pause making their F-150 Lightning electric pickup truck at their Rouge Electric Vehicle Center for 7 weeks, starting at the end of next week.
But 7 weeks? That means that Ford isn't going to be building any more Lightnings until next year.
That is correct.
Why?
Well, Ford spokesperson Jessica Enoch said that we continue to adjust production for an optimal mix of sales growth and profitability.
Demand for our electric pickup truck has dropped like a stone. We don't make any money on them anyway, and our dealers hate selling them because there's no maintenance. So we decided to stop making them again like we did earlier this year.
That does sound more accurate.
And that means layoffs, right?
Yeah. This move by Ford should affect about 800 workers.
And for context, Ford sold 22,807 Lightnings in the first three quarters of this year, while Tesla sold 28,250 Cybertrucks.
Yep. So even with the lead, Ford just dropped the ball and couldn't keep up with Tesla as soon as they entered the race.
And Cybertruck is ramping up production. Mm-hmm. And Ford had a year and a half lead, 2 year lead?
2 year lead.
And they
more than 2 years.
They blew it.
They blew it, yeah. But Jim Farley said, I mean, Cybertruck's only going to be like a specialty
car. It's a niche product.
It's a niche product, yeah.
Right.
Not
for
like,
people who want rust-proof trucks, who would that be? People love having their trucks get rusty and fold in half. Although I think that's Chevy. So NHTSA has published its list of North American parts used in 2025 model vehicles.
Now, it's a bit hard to read. So let us cut to the chase for you. Mm-hmm. Let's just pull this part out. The far right column are parts that come from outside of North America. And the second column from the right are the percentage of parts that come from North America.
Here you can see that Tesla is showing off Model Y being towed by a Cybertruck, showing that the world's best-selling vehicle was made in America.
Now, only the Honda Ridgeline has more American parts than the Cybertruck.
The Honda Ridgeline.
Yep. So, you know, when you're talking about trucks, usually American-made's important. It's American-made truck with American-made parts.
But it's the Honda Ridgeline. What, wouldn't it be the Ford
F-150?
No, they're way down the list.
Wouldn't it be the Chevy Silverado American-made?
It's the Honda Ridgeline?
With the most American parts.
Parts.
Yes.
The Honda Ridgeline.
Yes.
Okay.
Hey, if you want to learn about Cybertruck, head on over to the Cybertruck Owners Club. There they've got every imaginable piece of information that you could ever need to know about Cybertruck. And this is from owners who know what they're talking about. Head over there now. They help support us on the show.
You may not realize it, but every minute of every day, you're enjoying your First Amendment freedoms. You can wear what you want, give out your opinion for free, even if it's unpopular. Listen to your playlist. You can put a sign out on your front lawn that says, "Vote for Bigfoot, someone you can believe in." Pray to the god of your choice, or don't. You have the right to hang with a posse that thinks like you do. Tell the government what you think about its policies. They're the freedoms that let you be you, and they're all brought to you by the First Amendment. Moving like a river in my soul. Learn more at freedomforum.org.
This week on our sister channel, Now Let's Review, we just reviewed the ADO Air 20 Pro folding commuter e-bike.
With so many e-bikes on the market, there are now so many different classes of e-bike with different features.
Small tires, fat tires, chains versus belts, folding versus non-folding, cadence versus torque sensing. Confused yet?
And that's why we're here for you. When you're ready to start your e-mobility journey, whether it's an e-bike, an e-scooter, or an e-longboard, head over to Now Let's Review and we'll show you what all of these features mean and whether you really need them.
Like the ADO Air 20 Pro has a belt drive with an auto-shifting rear hub motor.
We'll show you what that means and give you our honest feelings about the pros and cons of that feature.
Because it might be exactly what you're looking for, or it might just be a feature that adds cost to the bike that you don't really need.
Back in January, Europeans got Tesla's new adaptive headlights with the rollout of the new refreshed Highland Model 3.
Now, according to Lars Moravi, Tesla's VP of Vehicle Engineering, it appears that adaptive headlights should be coming to the US soon.
Dan Berkland said, any updates on this one, Lars?
And Lars says, almost there.
So adaptive headlights increase the safety for both a car with adaptive headlights and other drivers on the road as well, because it dims pixels that could be pointing into oncoming drivers' eyes.
Yeah, as Dan says here, after driving a Giga Shanghai-made Model Y in Iceland a few weeks ago, I'm even more eager to get the EU-approved adaptive headlight functionality in the US. On bumpy roads, I could follow my friends closely with the high beams on, never impairing their visibility once. And as Tesla says, the high beam now adjusts to reduce glare for other drivers and cyclists. By detecting other road users and selectively dimming individual pixels on the headlights, the high beam can remain on longer, enabling better visibility at night. And I think this is important, not just for us human drivers, but for FSD. The more it can see, the better and safer it can drive.
Because I've noticed every time you put it in full self-driving, it turns on auto high beams, which is normally fine. It's just that sometimes the high beams can be like, oh, I don't know what that is. And you're like, that's a reflector on the highway.
Right.
And you're like, so please keep the high beams on. And then other times, you know, a car can be turning a corner and it's like, is that a car? And the other car is like, oh my God.
So remember how we Tesla shareholders voted again at the shareholder meeting at Giga Texas in June on Elon's pay package?
Oh, right, because Delaware Judge Kathleen McCormick had ruled in January that it was an unfathomable sum and unfair to shareholders.
Well, now Judge McCormick has issued a letter saying,
Judge aims to rule on Elon Musk's $56 billion Tesla pay by year end. No, wait, we already covered this. This was earlier in the year. She already ruled on it, and then we voted second time.
No, she still is the judge in the case, and she gets to rule on it.
Wait, she gets to decide whether our second shareholder vote, a vote that reaffirmed Elon's pay package by the same 73% in favor, I might add, she gets to rule on that? I thought we were done with Delaware court.
My guess, and this is just conjecture. I think Judge McCormick put off making her decision on our June vote until after the election, and she is going to let that influence her ruling. If the Democrats win, she will likely rule that our second shareholder vote was not valid, but if the Republicans win, then she will rule that it is indeed valid.
But I mean, what if the judge does rule our second vote invalid?
Then Tesla would have to appeal to the Delaware State Supreme Court.
But Tesla is headquartered in Texas now.
I know, but the original case was filed in Delaware, so it stays in Delaware until decided.
How is Delaware a state? Can somebody remind me again? Shouldn't we just make it part of Maryland? So she said, this is an unfathomable amount of money. You didn't tell shareholders enough information about it.
Right,
they didn't know. They really didn't think that Elon could do anything that he said. Then we have another vote where everything's already happened. We know exactly how much money he will be paid because he already made the company so much more valuable. 73% of shareholders said, we are in agreement with this thing, which we already voted on.
Well, and that was back in June. Why does she need until January? That's funny. Why does she wait until January to decide this? I don't know. What do you guys think? Let us know in the comments below. I think it's bullshit. And Elon responded to this meme.
Exactly.
All right, it's time for SpaceX news, and Elon reposted this. SpaceX says Falcon 9 launches our 200th Starlink mission to orbit. So there are over 7,000 Starlink satellites in orbit right now.
Wow.
Wow.
Marcus House says the next generation of SpaceX's Starship is out and about. Look carefully at the new forward flap placement, and you will see why the plasma flow should largely avoid the hinge area and fix that burn through issue. Can't wait to see this baby re-enter.
And Elon said one of several benefits. Sam says it would be awesome if someone packaged up solar panels plus battery plus Starlink such that it could run 24/7 in most parts of the world.
Elon said agreed. I guess Starlink could offer that directly too. Yes, please.
Yeah, it'd be cool if they just made like a place where you could plug in a 12-volt input to Starlink and power it that way.
Yeah, I mean, here we see an 18-volt tool battery powering Starlink. They say that it could last 8.5 hours.
That's really cool.
And then, yeah, if you had the solar to charge that up, because you don't need internet all night, so it could shut off, save some battery power for the morning.
Well, if you're Elon playing Diablo, you do.
Hey, how'd you like to go to Fiji and relax here? The Liku Liku Lagoon Resort in Fiji.
That looks beautiful. But I mean, it's Fiji, so there's not going to be any internet on that beach.
Not so fast. Check this out. The Liku Liku Lagoon Resort is now connected to the internet with Starlink.
Cool.
That's what Elon said.
Oh, that's cool.
And our friend Eric Berger published an article called What is Happening with Boeing's Starliner Spacecraft?
Elon said there is no logical purpose to Starliner, given that NASA plans to deorbit space station in roughly 5 years.
Elon went on to say, Dragon is awesome as a capsule architecture, but we need to move beyond that to rapidly reusable propulsive landers. That's cool.
Did you see all of the funny articles this week about SpaceX that I did?
Yeah.
Where they're like,
astronauts hospitalized after landing.
Really? After being in space for more than half a year, they have to
hospital. That's Elon's
fault. Wow, it's because of the Dragon capsule and not because they were in space for half a year. Mm-hmm. And that's what all astronauts, they all go to the hospital.
Just Elon caused that problem.
And let's talk about a bunch of unrelated problems.
Because I heard that Elon turned down gravity in space, so.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
All right, it's time for Into the Future, sponsored by our friends at Henson Shaving.
This is the Henson razor. It's the best razor on earth. You're going to love it.
Are you demonstrating what it's like when you don't use it?
The only reason I was able to grow this beard is because I started using my Henson razor.
That's true. You had tried before and failed.
My face was so unhappy that I couldn't actually start growing the beard. It was so unpleasant. Mm-hmm. Once I started using the Henson razor, I actually was able to grow a beard. I know that that's completely doesn't make any sense, but
it's true.
It actually worked. This is an amazing holiday gift because every 2 days, every week, somebody is going to think about the gift that you gave them when they are using it to shave their face. And if you want, you can use our code NOWYOUKNOW at checkout to get 100 free blades. What an amazing little Christmas gift. 24/7 Tesla YouTube channel has given us an update on the Tesla Hollywood Diner. We now see that the first of two drive-in movie screens have been installed.
Yeah, this is a 45-foot LED display that, according to Elon, is expected to show clips of famous movies from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. The diner and the 32 superchargers will be open 24 hours a day, according to 24/7 Tesla. And I mean, I think this is going to be another Hollywood attraction for tourists that go to L.A. So, I mean, whether you're on foot or driving a non-Tesla car or driving a Tesla, I think people are going to visit for the fun of it, right? Mm. And I think it's the kind of thing that's going to get shared a lot.
Hey, Bob, how was your vacation to Southern California?
It was great. We visited Universal Studios, and then we stopped in at the Tesla Diner in Hollywood.
What's the Tesla Diner?
Well, here, let me show you some videos. Yeah, and I think learning about things like Tesla from someone who's experienced it firsthand is so powerful. It's going to lead to all these questions like, what are those superchargers for? And then I think that's going to lead to like, wait, I can use my app to demo test drive a Tesla without going to a showroom. And like, I think it's going to be really powerful.
Yeah, I hope that it's as fun as it looks. It really looks like it's going to be nice.
Yeah.
Later this week, Tesla is going to officially open its first store in the Philippines.
Yeah, the store seen here under construction from back in September is located at the Uptown Bonifacio Shopping Mall in Taguig, Manila.
So if you happen to live in the Philippines, please send us photos or videos at hello@nowyouknowchannel.com.
All right, it's time for Going Green. So the Alpharetta, Georgia Police Department recently presented a proposal to their city council to buy 4 Tesla Model Ys outfitted as police cruisers at a cost of $349,000.
Major Trent Lindgren gave a presentation explaining that their number one motivator for trying the Model Y is their cost.
So he explained that typically they would be buying Ford Explorers for over $70,000 and Chevy Tahoes for over $79,000. As Lindgren went on to explain, the Model Ys would offer savings in gas and maintenance. So the Alpharetta Police Department Department currently has 70 gas vehicles in their fleet, which they expect to last 6 to 8 years or 110,000 miles on average. Lindgren said after researching the use of Teslas in other police departments around the country, he expects the Model Ys to last longer and be cheaper to maintain than the ICE vehicles. Lindgren said that officers spend as many as 10 hours a day in their vehicles, and that Tesla's smart and electric climate control systems mean that officers can keep their cabins comfortable and computers protected without leaving the engine running. And he said, nobody wants to live with dirty air and water.
So how did the city council react to the proposal?
City Administrator Chris Langerbloom promised to soon return at a future meeting with the decision on the proposal for the council to vote on. And you know, Major Lindgren presented a bunch of other positives that don't usually get talked about. One of them is that when officers are changing shifts, they typically have to like hand over the keys to the vehicle to the next shift, which can be a complicating factor for two reasons, right? You can imagine with 70 cars in the fleet, finding your squad car in a big parking lot can take time if you don't like write down the location. With the Tesla app, you can immediately see where your car is located, and there are no keys to hand over with the Tesla. Again, the Tesla app takes care of that.
I wonder how Tesla handles this with the Tesla app. I mean, do you think that they have a specific Tesla app for police officers that can handle a large number of cars? If there are any police officers out there who know this, can you share it in the comments, or actually rather contact us at hello@nowyouknowchannel.com. We'd love to pick your brains about how Tesla integrates with police departments or if they don't, because that would be good to know as well. Also, you mentioned earlier in the story that the four police cars would cost $350,000. I mean, how does that compare to, say, four Chevy Tahoes?
So the administrative cars for the police department, so those that aren't going to be patrol cars, those would be $59,722 because they just need a few special things, but not all the special things. And the patrol cars, once they're outfitted by Unplugged Performance, would cost $80,744 each. So it's about $1,000 more than the Chevy Tahoe to start. But as Major Lindgren pointed out, if you factor in maintenance, fuel efficiency, longer life expectancy, all that, it's actually cheaper in the long run. So would you like to earn up to 10% annual returns by investing in solar projects?
I do, with Climatize. There, I get to choose between solar projects where I can invest as little as $10 and get returns that are way better than a bank's.
And if you go to climatize.earth/NYK and use our code NYK023, you will get $25 in free credit once you complete your onboarding process.
You heard right. Free money to invest in solar projects with 10% returns. The sun's coming out tomorrow. Don't miss out.
All right, it's time for sunspots.
We wanted to share this story we read in the News and Observer.
So after Hurricane Helene hit, more than 1.5 million North Carolina residents were without power.
A nonprofit called Footprint Project drove up from New Orleans with 45 solar arrays and batteries to help get homes, community centers, and churches power.
Will Hegard, operations director of the Footprint Project, says, "The longer that we live through these types of extreme or major disaster power outage events, the more clear it is in general that relying on single source fossil fuel when the grid goes down is not the definition of resilience."
At one site in Poplar, North Carolina, Footprint Project set up 18 solar panels in a nearby field and a Tesla Powerwall.
Al Miller, a disaster volunteer, said, "Residents were amazed when the generators went off and the lights were still on. Fuel is such a precious resource up there." So if you want to help with the recovery efforts that these wonderful groups are doing, both the Footprint Project and Disaster Ministries, please check out their websites, footprintproject.org and nccumc.org/disaster.
We'll put the links below in the show notes. And when power finally came back on in Poplar last week, Footprint Project relocated the solar panels and batteries for use in other areas still without power.
Hegard said, "Oftentimes when we're dropping them off, it's the first time anyone in that community has seen a solar panel that's not on a roof 30 to 40 feet away. Most people in the world have never stood and touched and moved around a commercial solar panel." And I mean, one thing I found interesting about this story is that Will Hegard got this idea for solar and batteries to help solve power problems in communities after he got back from serving with the International Medical Corps in Guinea, Africa. There, he helped power 5 refrigerators to store blood samples so that health officials could help stop the spread of Ebola virus. Instead of using diesel generators, which would have needed continual funding for the diesel fuel, he got permission to use solar panels, which could run the refrigerators indefinitely. And after getting back to the States, he said, quote, "I was wondering why we weren't doing it in our own backyard and started tinkering with solar and batteries in my backyard, and we just started throwing them at local disasters." So smart, because you have kind of indefinite power after one of these disasters, unlike having to keep getting diesel up the mountain.
And there are a lot of consumer-friendly products that can sort of do this, where you get like a 1 kilowatt hour battery and like a 400 watt solar panel, and you can plug them all in and power stuff and kind of run almost indefinitely. But it is cool to see actual commercial solar panels being used at a large scale, generating enough power for more than just like a couple of fun projects or like, you know, a camping expedition.
Yeah, because you can just put them in a field. Like,
right.
They work wherever you put them.
And it, while it's not something that you're going to like throw in your sedan and, you know, go do, you just need a truck and you have a mobile, you know, a moving grid that you can bring wherever you need it. And most places, there are fields or parking lots or roofs or big flat somethings where you can set all this stuff up.
And we cover all these solar panels and batteries that you can have on our Now Let's Review channel, because it's just a good backup thing to have. I mean, if you have 400 watts of solar panels and a 1 kilowatt hour battery, like Jesse talked about, you can probably weather through a lot of these disasters and these power outages on your own.
To be clear, you can have any solar panel that you want.
Right.
Except the ones that are like on the space station.
And if you'd like to get solar permanently installed at your house, talk to our friends at EnergyPal. They know how to do it. They know how to save the most money. And they'll walk you through all that stuff for free. So let them know that Zach and Jesse sent you. All right, it's time for our video contributor stories. Remember, we need your stories to make this show awesome. Send them to us 2 minutes or less. Shoot them in landscape with good audio, no music. Send them to hello@nowyouknowchannel.com. What do we got this week, Jess?
Well, Brian sent us this video. Let's check it out.
Good morning, Zach and Jesse. This is Brian Haar, and just wanted to give you guys a good video of putting the Cybertruck to work. We are a farmer, so I live in Illinois. I've got lots of chickens, ducks, geese, turkeys, all kinds of animals, several deep water ponds, and today we are needing to fill up this chicken and duck and turkey pond from the big lake with a pump. And so what better way, since we're way out here away from any outlet by several hundred feet, than to use our Cybertruck to do it. So without further ado, let's do that right now. Here we go, plugging it in. And here we go. Let me get down here to where the water comes out. They're waiting, and boom, we have water. And we're gonna fill it up all night tonight. So, yes, success. Cybertruck wins. So, I wanted to share that with you guys. Cybertruck is a real work vehicle, and now the rest of the world knows. See you later. Bye.
Wow, that's like what we did the other day, leaf blowing in the yard. We used the Cybertruck as a giant battery.
Yeah, it's just a driving battery that you don't have to worry that you're going to run out of power.
That's so cool. Thank you so much for sending us that story. All right, it's time for our Patreon bonus stories. And you can join us on Patreon for as little as a buck a month. You get to see all of our Patreon stories. So, I mean, that would be just years worth of stories, practically. You could go back and watch. And you help support the work we do. I mean, this week we've got hands-free harvesting with Starlink.
We've got Halloween Hand.
We got Edmunds praises the Model 3.
Phantom Drain on Tesla.
And so much more. You can see all those stories. Head on over to patreon.com/nowyouknow. We'll see you there. All right, we're back from the Patreon bonus stories. It is time for the Patreon poll. So if you join us on Patreon for the $2 level, you can join all of our polls every week. Would you schedule a Tesla self-serve demo drive?
90% of people said, yes, I would schedule one if I was in the market for a new car.
Yeah, I think it's really effective marketing. All right, it's time for Elon's X's of the week. And we'll try and stay away from the political stuff because it's election day. David says, instead of trying to build a wish-granting God and trying to control it, I'd really like to try to make powerful systems that uplift ourselves one level at a time.
Elon says that describes human technological development to date. In the grand scheme of things, it probably does come down to what percentage of a solar system's energy has been harnessed for intelligence. We currently round down to 0%.
Grok reposted Elon's post of Grok image previews coming soon to all platforms. Elon said, let us know if you've been illegally fired for expressing your political views. because X is going to pay for your lawsuit. And Elon said, dressing up as the national debt would be a terrifying costume. Fermat's Library says, although seemingly counterintuitive, a chain of inverted pendulums can be stabilized by small vertical oscillations of the base. And Elon said,
that's basically how rocket control theory works.
Alex says, SpaceX only needs 5 more Starlink launches to complete the first commercial direct-to-cell constellation, according to SpaceX's senior director of satellite engineering, Ben Longmire.
Elon said, this is just the beginning. My guess is that there will be as many Starlink direct-to-cell phone satellites as there are for our high-bandwidth terminals. As a rough rule of thumb, however, bandwidth will be 1/10 as high for phones versus a dedicated Starlink antenna. Physics is the law. Still a major game changer.
Peter Diamantis says, I'm not concerned about AI as the Terminator. Far from that. I believe it will be the most important tool for humanity to solve our grand challenges.
Elon said, it's unlikely, just not 0% probability.
Alex says, the European Commissioner announced today it plans to begin the development of a sovereign and independent 290-satellite internet constellation, dubbed Iris Squared, that is estimated to cost more than 10 billion euros. The contract is awarded to the Space Rise Consortium.
Elon quoted them, saying the consortium relies on a core team of European subcontractors from all segments of the SATCOM ecosystem for the delivery of the scope of the concession contract. Thales Alenia Space, OHB, Airbus Defense and Space, Telepasio, Deutsche Telekom, Orange, Hisdesat, and Thales 6. That's a lot of companies.
Newsweek had this article, could Elon Musk be deported for immigration violation?
Elon says, a lot of people still don't believe me when I say that the Democrats will do anything in their power to destroy me if they win on November 5th.
Elon posted the Department of Government Efficiency. What would you say you do here? Remember that from Office Space?
I do.
Elon posted that X is now number one in Germany. He said, Danke schön, Deutschland. Caitlyn Jenner said, a very exciting day. I have just passed over 5,000 flight hours since I first got my pilot's license in 1976. Also just passed my last test, my medical with FAA with flying colors. See you in the air.
Elon said, wow, that's serious airtime. I got around 600 hours and then had to stop flying as I need to work while aloft.
I didn't know he had that many hours as a pilot.
Can't he just use autopilot? Elon said, our hedgehog loves running on her wheel for hours. Her name is Shrub the Hedgehog.
Didn't know he had a Shrub.
So he has a hedgehog.
That's good to know.
Which is interesting, because when you order a Tesla, you get the little hedgehog picture.
I wonder if that's Shrub.
It's not. It's an old meme.
Ah.
It's one of the old elder memes.
All right, it's time for community mail time. Remember to share your stories, your photos, and videos with us at hello@nowyouknowchannel.com.
Kevin spotted these EVs at an EA station in Oswego, Illinois. It's the only thing rarer than the Hummer EV is that all the chargers are working. He sent in a picture of a Cybertruck in Des Moines, Iowa, a wrapped Cybertruck at the Wisconsin Dells. He said that the owner is a firefighter and that wrap helps him afford his truck.
Wow.
And finally, we have Kevin next to Sandy Monroe's Cybertruck.
Aw, I love that shirt, Kevin. Dave just got his non-foundation beast.
Congratulations, Dave. And I love the wrap.
Yes.
Jim spotted this Tesla delivery in Trondheim, Norway. Just goes on forever.
Wow. Alvin in Torrance, California spotted this BYD 8TT EV semi.
Tom took his Cybertruck to the gas station. He needs fuel for his lawnmower. Hopefully for not too much longer. Because pretty soon, you won't need to go to the gas station. Your Cybertruck could charge up your lawn mowing equipment.
That's a good point.
But everything
one step
takes
at a time.
Time, of course.
Boris spotted this hydrogen-powered Hyundai Nexo. He said it was only $226 to fill it up. Hydrogen's the future.
Hydrogen's the future, everybody. Brian spotted this Kia EV9 in Horseshoe Bay, Texas.
And this wrapped Cybertruck in Balverde, Texas.
John spotted this black Cybertruck with a light bar and a sidestep.
Wait, they got the light bar?
And the sidestep. I don't even know where you get the sidestep.
Wow. That looks really cool with that.
I don't know what it does for efficiency. And you definitely don't need the sidestep, as we've demonstrated in our entry video.
Leendert spotted this Model Y in Prague with a fake Trabant maker mark and the license plate LOLROTFL.
Do you think that this guy used to drive a Trabant?
Maybe. I mean, that's a big step up.
Yeah. Art spotted these at the Frederick Flight Center, Maryland. Lots of different fun EVs. And
what's the orange one?
That is a Pikmin.
Oh, right. The Pikmin Electric.
And that one's from China.
So imported. Wow. Yeah. That's a great lineup of cars. Max spotted these Cybertrucks in Tucson, Arizona.
Ready for delivery.
Nice.
Yuri spotted this EV Silverado in Palo Alto, California.
And Sebastian spotted this electric BYD truck in Maastricht, Netherlands. Nice. Must be so quiet when it shows up.
Yeah.
All right, it's time for Supercharger reviews. Let's see what's out there in the world of Superchargers.
Hi, this is Joel from the Ypsilanti, Michigan Supercharger. It's got 12 stalls, version 2, outside of a Meyer that you can see behind me. It does have one pull-through over here. It's got not much around as far as other things to do other than the Meyer. There's a gas station, and that's pretty much it. There's some things up the road if you want to stop before you get here for food, but overall, I'd probably say this is only a 4 out of 10. Now you know.
Hi, I'm Greta at the Prairie du Chien, Wisconsin Supercharger. It is 8 stalls, but one of them is the porn charger. There's Casey's and McDonald's nearby, but not much else. But it does fill a gap on the map. So I'd give it a 6 out of 10 on the Jesse scale. Now you know.
Good day, Zach and Jesse. This is the Onamia, Minnesota Supercharger. 8 stalls with one really nice trailer-capable nose-in and another regular nose-in. Very convenient. It's right off 169, south of Onamia, and that's a little bit south of Lake Mille Lacs. If you're heading into the central part of Minnesota, this is a good place to plan for. It's on the backside of a Casey's convenience store gas station, which has a pretty good selection of gas station foods, pizzas and snacks and whatnot. I'd give it an 8 out of 10.
Hello, Zach. Hello, Jesse. Greetings from England, from this beautiful old house. This is the Barton Hall Hotel and Spa, and it's near Kettering in the UK. And we have just opened up a series of 8 Tesla V4 superchargers just around the corner here in this part of the car park. And there we go. And people just getting in there, starting to use them. The facilities here are fantastic. The staff here are so friendly. Coffee's brilliant. They're even laying on breakfast until 11 o'clock in the morning for EV drivers especially. Of course, we've got V4 units, which we just love. And the only downside is that if you happen to be in a wheelchair, you're going to struggle with it. So I'm going to give this site an 8 out of 10, solid 8 out of 10, let down only by the ground beneath the charge points. And from England, now you know.
Thank you so much for doing Supercharger reviews. We have a map on our website, nowyouknowchannel.com, and you can upload your reviews there. You don't have to send them to me because I don't upload them for you.
You do the work.
You have to do it. But you can also check out all the Supercharger reviews that have ever been uploaded there so you can see what the Supercharger is like. You can see if there have been changes.
Yeah.
We keep up all the videos. You can have multiple videos per site. So if you're like, hey, this is out of date, make a new one.
Exactly. All right. What do we got for new Superchargers, Jess?
We got the 12-stall version 4 in Benswitch, Germany.
We got number 123 in Japan, the 4-stall in Sakata.
Number 51 in Ohio is the 8-stall in Mentor, Ohio.
Number 24 in Thailand is the 4-stall in Phuket. Robinson Lifestyle, it's not really Phuket.
The 20-stall in Santa Maria, California.
Number 517 in California is the 8-stall in Chatsworth.
Number 19 in Iowa is the 12-stall in Lamoni, Iowa.
Number 210 in Germany is the 8-stall version 4 in Gera, Germany.
Number 83 in New Jersey is the 12-stall at Monmouth Junction, New Jersey.
Got number 64 in Illinois, the 12-stall version 4 in South Beloit, Illinois.
Number 61 in Georgia is the 8-stall version 4 in Alpharetta, Georgia.
Oh, that's where the police department might be getting their Model Ys.
What a surprise.
They got the 3-stall version 4 in the Barrow, Hong Kong.
Number 54 in Massachusetts, number 2,445 in the United States is the 12-stall in Newton at Florence Street, Massachusetts.
We got an expansion from 8 to 20 stalls in Melissa, Texas.
And number 83 in Hong Kong, number 6,770 in the world is the 3-stall at One Bedford Place, Hong Kong. Thank you for spending your valuable time with us today.
Yeah, we love learning about what's going on in the world of electric cars, autonomy, sustainability, renewable energy, space, robots, brain interfaces, and sharing it all with you. I mean, the world has gotten a bit crazy lately, but when I was growing up, I learned that it was okay to disagree with other people as long as we keep listening to each other. In fact, that's how we all learn.
So our hope is that as this election comes to a close, we can all take a deep breath and realize that regardless of who wins, we'll be here next week to report on what's going on. It's going to be a wild future. Who knows what's going to happen, but let's experience it together.
Thank you for being awesome.
We'll see you guys next week.
Now you know.
You may not realize it, but every minute of every day, you're enjoying your First Amendment freedoms. You can wear what you want, give out your opinion for free, even if it's unpopular. Listen to your playlist. You can put a sign out on your front lawn that says, "Vote for Bigfoot, someone you can believe in." Pray to the God of your choice, or don't. You have the right to hang with a posse that thinks like you do. Tell the government what you think about its policies. They're the freedoms that let you be you, and they're all brought to you by the First Amendment. Moving like a river in my soul. Learn more at freedomforum.org.